of the International Secret Police.
Zero. Phoenix Zero. Phoenix Zero. Phoenix Zero.
Octopus, in the guise of Paul Meunier, calls on Speed, Clint, and Barney the morning following Marsh's rescue. Wishing to allay his suspicion that they are nearer trapping him than ever before, Clint tells the criminal that Marsha and her brother have been sent to Lhasa for medical treatment. Instead, they are in the next room with Splinters, guarded by Dawa. Just as the octopus is about to leave, Splinters cries out in terror and attempts to escape through the window. Speed and Barney dash to Dawa's aid, but Clint remains behind to keep an eye on the octopus.
Why did you not tell me the truth, Barlow? Why did you say you had sent your friends to Lhasa when obviously they are here?
I did not tell you the truth, Meunier, because I didn't want the octopus to know that they were still in this house.
What do you mean?
Rumors get about, you know.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I haven't time to explain now, Meunier. Come, I'll show you to the door.
But I should like to see your friend.
Not now. I'll see you to the door.
Barney, Miss Marcia knows me. You're all right, Miss Marcia. Look, it's me, Speed Gibson. We rescued you.
Oh, Speed. You'll never know how glad I am to be here.
Hey, help me hold Splinters down, Chief Sable. He's acting like a crazy man.
Yes, Mr. Dunlap, quiet, quiet. Nothing will harm you if you will just remain quiet.
Don't let him get me. The octopus knows I'm here now.
Splinters tried to escape, Barney. He tried to get through the window. I did my best to hold him, but he would have escaped had you not made your timely entrance.
Yeah, well, he's quieting down now.
Oh, Barney, your face looks so good to me.
You're the first person that's ever said that, Marcia. But seriously, we're sure glad we found you. We never thought you'd snap out of your stupor so soon.
Oh, it's been horrible, Barney. Every time I regained consciousness, Splinters would give me more of the vapors of sleep. Now, as I look back, it seems like an awful nightmare.
Well, you can relax now, Miss Marcia. You're safe.
But my brother, where is...
Oh, he's okay. He's still asleep. See, he's right over here.
Oh, thank heaven.
I wonder how Mr. Barlow explained this sudden outburst to the octopus in the other room.
The octopus here?
Now, don't get excited all over again, Marcia. He's harmless, for the time being, at least. You see, he's disguised himself as a scientist. Paul Meunier, he calls himself. He can't act like anything but a scientist while he's around us.
Yeah. The only time we have to worry about him is when he's not around us.
You said it, kid.
Shall I go into the next room and see what Mr. Barlow is doing?
No, I got a hunch he'll be along pretty soon.
Why, Marsha. Marsha Winfield. Why, you're yourself again.
Oh, yes, Clint. And it seems like heaven to wake up and see friendly faces again. I've lived in such terror.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I treated you all right, didn't I?
But you were a member of the Octopus Band, Splinters. I knew that you meant to kill us eventually.
Oh, I did not. That was Quan Wu's idea.
Where's the octopus, Clint?
Well, I made sure that he left Speed. I took him to the door myself and then luckily ran into Mr. Tsi Ring. He was coming in to see what all the noise was about. But when I said Mr. Meunier was leaving, he took the hint and said that he would see him to the car.
I bet the octopus didn't like that a bit. He would have given anything to get into this room.
Yeah, no, he wanted to kill me.
By the way, were you the cause of all that commotion, Splinters?
I'll say he was. When we came in, Splinters was trying to fly out the window like a cuckoo bird, and Dawa was hanging onto him like a bulldog.
But I could not have held him much longer. He is very strong.
Now, Marcia, you feel like telling us a little of what has happened? Evidence is piling up against the octopus. But what you can tell us will be conclusive proof of his guilt. Of that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, I'll tell you everything I can, Clint. But the vapors of sleep so deadened my mind that I may be very vague on certain things.
Don't worry about that, Miss Marcia. Just tell us what you can remember.
Well, I remember very little of the actual kidnapping, Speed. The last I knew, I was safe in Hong Kong. And when I next became conscious, I was in a plane with Splinters.
Yeah, we almost caught up with you before you left Hong Kong. If we'd only known you was in that box.
Box? What box?
We'll tell you our side of the story later, Marcia. What happened next?
Well, we flew directly to Tengri Nor. There were two Tibetans awaiting us. Octopus men, I learned later, and also my brother Larry. I was so happy to find him alive that I forgot for the time that we were octopus prisoners.
Did Larry know you when he saw you?
Oh, yes. And he almost went crazy when he realized that I was a victim of the octopus, too.
Yeah, I'll say he did. First thing I knew, he punched me on the jaw, and I hadn't done a thing.
Poor Larry. Of course, he never had a chance, and had we both managed to escape, I doubt if we ever would have reached civilization alive.
Probably not, Miss Winfield. The great plains of the Chang Tang are bitter cold, and you probably would have escaped from the octopus men only to fall into the hands of the brigands that infest that region.
Who is this boy?
Oh, this is Dawat Siring, Marsha, the son of our host, La Shote Siring, who has done much to make your rescue possible.
Oh, I'm so grateful. How can I ever express my thanks to them?
Your presence here is thanks enough, Miss Winfield.
Say, the kid's doing all right. Wish I had a line like that with the ladies.
Quietly. Now, continue, Marsha.
Well, right after Larry's outbreak, they started giving him unusually heavy doses of the vapors of sleep, so that I had no more opportunity to question him as to what happened. I had to sit there, day after day, watching Larry grow thinner and thinner. They dressed us both as Tibetans and stained our skins darker, so that if anyone should see us, they would not wonder at us.
The dirty dogs?
Well, how did you ever manage to tell that holy man your troubles, Miss Marcia, so he could give you a message to Clint?
I prayed for that opportunity, Speed.
What? You mean you talked to that llama? I thought you was asleep.
I know you did, Splinters. You see, Clint, sometimes Splinters would let a day or so pass without giving me any of the sleep vapors so that he could talk to me.
Yeah, I had to talk to somebody. I was going crazy up there. The other two guards didn't know much English.
If you were so desperate, why did you not take Miss Winfield and our brother and put them in your plane and fly to Lhasa and safety?
Yeah, Lhasa ain't safe when the octopus is after you. No place is safe.
This is Chief Tipo, Miss Marcia, chief of the peace officers of this province.
You've made good friends in Tibet, Speed.
We of Tibet are grateful to the secret police, Miss Winfield. At first, their story of Paul Mounier being the octopus was not believed. I could do nothing to help them officially, but within the last few days, slave raids have begun.
Slave raids?
Splinters has given us evidence enough to stop that. And now you bring us all that we need to capture this monster and end his criminal activities once and for all.
Oh, I hope so, Chief Tipo.
You were about to tell us how you got the message to us.
Oh, yes. Well, when I was not under the influence of the sleep vapors, I could think of nothing but escape. Even when I was talking to Splinters, I was thinking of that.
So that's why you was always absent-minded when I try to talk to you.
Yes, Splinters. And I finally hit upon the idea of pretending to be under the influence of the vapors when I wasn't at all. I'd pretend to be asleep or else just stare straight ahead. And Splinters took it for granted that the dose of vapors lasted longer on me than on my brother.
That was very clever of you.
I was desperate, Darwa. I knew it was our only chance. Well, weeks passed, and no one ever passed the hut, at least while I was conscious to see them. And then, one day, Splinters and the other two guards went out hunting. Both Larry and I had had a heavy dose of the vapors the night before. Poor Larry had had so much that he didn't even wake up, but I did, though I pretended to sleep on. I saw Splinters and the others leave, and then I got up and went to the window. Somehow I knew that a traveler would pass that day.
You had a hunch. Clint often has them and plays them.
Yes, Speed. Well, I waited eagerly, and I almost cried with joy when I glimpsed the holy man approaching. Splinters and the others were out of sight by that time, so I ran out of the hut to attract his attention.
I'll bet he was surprised.
He was. At first, he thought me a Tibetan woman in need of help. I was afraid he might not understand English, but fortunately he did, and he listened to my story intently.
I do not wonder. Our holy men are ever ready to help the unfortunate.
I have learned that, Dawa. And when I told the Lama everything, I asked him to get in touch with you somehow. You see, I thought you might still be in China. I didn't know how he could reach you. I merely hoped for the best.
Well, he reached me all right. It was very strange.
Yes. You see, after I had told him your name and that you were in the secret police, he walked away a few steps and seemed lost in the deepest concentration. When he returned to me, he said that you all were in Tibet and that he would contact you the day he arrived in Lhasa.
But how could he know that?
That's what I asked him, Speed. But he merely smiled at me gently and said, "My mind directs me, my child, and it has never failed me yet." Then I tried to describe Clint to him, but he shook his head and said that he already knew how you would look.
Suffering wing doodles.
It is nothing to be wondered at, Barney. We see instances of this same thing almost every day in Tibet. We have learned and recognized the power of the mind.
It was then that Splinters and the others returned. I saw them in time and warned the Lama. He seemed to understand and suggested that I appear asleep so as not to arouse their suspicions. He talked to them a while, and then he left. And since you rescued us, Clint, I gather that the Lama found you as he said he would.
Well, he certainly did. He met me on the turquoise roof bridge that leads to the Potala. Called me by my name and gave me your message.
Yeah, I give up. It's bad enough fighting things you can see and feel, but you can't fight magic.
It is not magic, Splinters, but a simple truth.
Well, you've told us enough to finish the activities of the Octopus Marshal.
Can I help you any more, Clint?
Well, first, we're going to take you and your brother to Nag Chu Ka, where Dr. Kingsley and Jean are awaiting news of you. The doctor will restore you to health in no time.
Little Jean and the doctor. Oh, it all seems too good to be true.
Bob Gilmore's there too, Miss Marcia. He was your brother's pal. We swore him into the secret police because he was so anxious to find you and Larry.
Oh, how kind of you.
I hope that your brother may regain consciousness while we're in Nag Chu Ka, Marcia. He'll be able to tell us a lot about the octopus, I'm sure of that. Meantime, I'll swear out a warrant for Paul Mounier's arrest, Chief Depot. We have the necessary proof now.
Yes, and I am most happy that we are able to stop this criminal in time.
Well, I hope we'll be in time, Chief Depot.
Huh? What do you mean, Clint? We got all the proof we need.
Yes,
now.
But the Octopus has a fleet of dangerous fighting planes stationed at Black Pass, Barney. Don't forget that. We'll have to keep them grounded before we can make a move to arrest the Octopus. Otherwise, we'll have an open war on our hands.
Well, how'll you do that, Clint?
Well, that's up to Chief Tipo. Have your men authority at the Black Pass, Chief?
Yes, Mr. Barlow. We can go anywhere in Tibet.
Good. Then send a strong detachment of them to Black Pass for a friendly inspection. And see that they're well armed. With Tibetan authorities on the ground, the Octopus pilots don't dare take off for the Pass of the Iron Dagger.